In the name of God be glorified. Greeting you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come also. God gave one more opportunity to give, to stand here with thy words. We know that in the past few days we were thinking about Abraham and the promises which have been given by God. But today I would like to share with you another topic. Please turn me to Colossians 2 verse 16. Colossians 2 verse 16. Colossians 2 verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day, of the new moon or the Sabbath day, which are the shadow of things to come, but the bodies of Christ. We know that the world is celebrating Easter today. They are not celebrating Easter, but also having a lots of festivals like Christmas, Passover, Good Friday and New Year in their own ways. There are two ways to celebrate the festivals. One is understand its spiritual meaning and its importance of celebration and thus praising the Lord for His goodness. And the other way is to just enjoy the worldly things and to be happy in worldly manner. We know that all the festivals mentioned in the Bible have a spiritual meaning. We need to live according to that, what Bible teaches. That is God's will for us. This morning, I want to share some points regarding feast or festivals that the people of Israel celebrate. In Old Testament, we can see God commandments that to offer sacrifice and to celebrate festivals. But since our Lord Jesus Christ has perfected sacrifice by His own sacrifice, we no longer need to celebrate, we no longer need to offer sacrifice. But we have to understand what the celebrations mean. We know that there are seven festivals in Old Testament. They are respectively Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruit, Pentecost, Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, and Feast of Tabernacle. We no need to celebrate this feast festival literally. However, as a redeemed people, we should know the spiritual meaning of these festivals. First one is Passover. What is Passover? The Passover is discussed in details in 12th chapter of Exodus. Exodus 12 verse 1. Exodus 12 verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their father, a lamb for an house. Verse 5, Your lamb should be without blemish, a male first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper doorpost of the houses, where therein they shall eat it. And they shall eat it flesh that it in the night roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Verse 10, They shall eat, let nothing it remaining until morning, and that which remaineth it until the morning ye shall be burned with fire, and thus shall eat with your loin girdle, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it with haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to your token up to the house where they are, and where when I see the blood, I will pass over to you. I will pass over to you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this is the day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it the feast of to the Lord throughout your generation. Ye shall keep it feast by a ordinance forever. We know that the people of Israel were slaves in Egypt. The suffering they suffered in Egypt was indescribable. God saw their suffering and heard their cries, which reached up to the heaven. God made a heavenly plan to redeem them through Moses. According to God's word, Moses asked Pharaoh to let the people of Israel to go and worship, but he was unwilling unwilling to do so, and his heart was hardened. God sent 10 plagues, one after another, although Pharaoh hardened his heart with the first 9 plagues. But Pharaoh gave permission to let Israel go with the 10th plague, which was killing of firstborn. When firstborn was killed in the Egyptian home, a lamb was slaughtered in the house of Israel. The lamb should be male and a year old and without blemish. It was to be set apart on the 10th day of the month of Abib. On the 14th day, a lamb to be slaughtered, and its blood was to be smeared on the 2 doorposts and lintel of the house where they are lived. The destroyer will pass over the house where there was a sign of blood, and will not enter there. So God miraculously protect the people of Israel. Not only that, but they must eat it meat with their loin girded. Their staff should be in their hand, and their shoes should be on their feet. They must not leave the meat until the next day. If anything remaineth of it until the morning, they should burn it with fire, and they must not break any of its bone. This was the preparation for a great exodus. If the redemption of Israel was through the blood of the lamb, slain lamb, beloved brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus Christ was the lamb slain to redeem us. A lamb without any sign or blemish or spot has been slain for us on the Calvary. That's why the Apostle Peter says, "You were not brought with the perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, unblemished and without spot." Christ, who was without blemish, shed his own blood for us, that we will be redeemed from the bondage of devil. In his blood, we have redemption and the forgiveness of sin. He has cleansed us from our sin. Our Passover lamb has been sacrificed for us. The Passover is a celebration, that remembrance of God's redemption. It is a remembrance of departure from slavery to freedom, from darkness to light, from ignorance to knowledge, from death to life. Worship is the great celebration of our God's redemption. The Lord gave his own body to be broken so that our joy might be complete. How much gratitude should be given to God. But it's become a mere ritual nowadays. We must worship the Lord with thanksgiving and great remembrance of our Lord's death, that we may have abundant life. And second thing is that the God said to Moses and Aaron, "In the land of Egypt, the Abib month shall be the beginning of month for you." We can look at chapter 12, verse 2. "This month shall be unto you the beginning of month. It shall be the first month of the year to you." That means the Abib month should be the first month. According to the calendar, that was the seventh month for them. But God said to the Israelites, this month should be the first month. That means God said to them, I want you to have a new beginning. We know that they are physically in the land of Egypt still. But now onwards, you don't need to think about slavery or suffering. All the things are over. Come to a new experience. Rejoice with me. Live in peace. Celebrate it as a festival and glorify God. God had many plans for them. Later, He revealed it. But what lesson can we learn from this? We know that we were also in slavery. In the slavery of devil. In the slavery of darkness. In the slavery of fear of death. From there, we have a complete redemption through the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to move forward with a new experience. That's why 2 Corinthians 5 verse 12 says that, therefore, if anyone in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We should no longer live in the old ways, or do not repeat the old ways. We should go with a new experience. We can look at Ephesians 4 verse 22. Ephesians 4 verse 22. Ephesians 4 verse 22. That he put off concerning the former conversation, that old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put a new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You have put off the old man with its deeds and put on the new man. Then we have a new life. So God has called us to live by experiencing newness. And second feast is that Feast of Unleavened Bread. Feast of Unleavened Bread. We can look at Exodus 12 verse 17. Exodus 12 verse 17. And shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for in the selfsame day, have I brought you armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generation by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your house. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether it be stranger or born in land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitation shall ye eat unleavened bread. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is remind us that the redeemed people must live holy life. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is to be observed for 7 days, from the 14th to 21st of month of 21st of the month of Abib. Along with that, I would like to read Exodus 12 verse 15. 7 days shall be eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of the house. For the whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, it shall be cut off from Israel. And along with that, I would like to read Chapter 13 verse 7. Chapter 13 verse 7. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall be no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be a leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. There shall be no leavened bread found anywhere in your territory. God has strictly forbidden leaven Why does God want us to live? Why does God want us to have this unleavened experience in our life? Because leaven is a symbol of evil and wickedness. The festival is not celebrated with the leaven, which is evil and wickedness, but with the purity and truth. We can look at 1 Corinthians 5 verse 6. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know yet not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Purge out therefore all leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with all leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The Apostle Paul saying that we should keep our life with the unleavened. The basic reason why we should keep the unleavened is because our Passover lamb is sacrificed for us. If one is in Christ, he has become new creation. There is no place for leaven, for sin anymore in his life. There must be leaven, unleavened for 7 days that we read in Exodus. There are 7 days in a week, isn't it? If so, from the first day to the seventh day, we should keep the experience of unleavened. That means we must live a holy life for the rest of our life. We must not be conformed to the world, but live away from the sin. We must stay away from evil. The word of God clearly says that if we became the children of light, we should no longer connection or fellowship with the leaven. It is the duty of each of us to live holy life, abstaining from worldly desire, unrighteousness, greed, and malice. God says that if I am holy, you also must be holy. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 7 says that, for God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. We can look at 2 Chronicles 30 verse 21. 2 Chronicles 30 verse 21. 2 Chronicles 30 verse 21. And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness, and the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with a loud instrument unto the Lord. It reminds us that the unleavened feast should be kept with a great joy. The Levites and priests sang to the Lord with a musical instrument and praised the Lord daily. The holy life is a happy life. If sin brings joy for a while, it brings sorrow later. There are many who live with a burden of sin nowadays, but the people of God rejoice in the Lord. Dear children of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, traveling to heavenly Canaan with hope and faith. Our land is not here. We are strangers and pilgrims here. We are traveling to our promised land with joy and hope. Apostle encourages in Hebrews 12 that, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Many who has run before us have fallen before reaching their destination. Therefore, let us finish the race that is set before us, which is before us, with perseverance, so that we may inherit the kingdom that cannot be shaken. And the third feast is that feast of first fruit. Feast of first fruit. We can look at Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, verse 9. Leviticus 23, verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto you the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye become into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, and ye shall be bring a sheaf of the first fruit of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord, to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Verse 14, And ye shall eat neither bread, nor preached corn, nor bean ears, until the selfsame day that ye have brought an offering unto you God. It shall be statute forever throughout your generation in all your dwellings. The feast of first fruit, which is to be observed on the first day of the week, that day after the Sabbath. The people of Israel, after their wilderness journey, have arrived in the land of Canaan that God has promised them. It was the time to begin cultivation and harvest there. So they brought the first sheaf of grain before God and waved it. Although there are many other sheaves to be harvested, only the first sheaf has the privilege of being lifted up and waved in front of everyone. The meaning of it is recorded in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. But every man in his order, Christ the first fruit, afterwards that they are Christ at his coming. Christ the first fruit. We can see here that Christ has been risen as the first fruit, then those who are belongs to Christ at his coming. As a believer, what lesson this festival is remind us, or what should be implement from this feast or of first fruit? We know that Israelites, they had been slavery for so long. They freed from there and arrived in the promised land. They have cultivated and their own land, harvested there, and had the joy of offering the first sheaf to God. The scripture says that, honor the Lord with the first fruit. We can look at Proverbs 3 verse 9. Proverbs 3 verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase, so that thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy press shall burst off out of with a new wine. First place to God. If we honor the Lord with our first fruit and the first result of our effort, He will surely bless us. We must give first place to God. And fourth one is that Feast of Pentecost or Day of Pentecost. It is celebrated on the 50th day, that after 7 Sabbath, following the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Pentecost, it means the 50th day. The feast has been, feast has a special feature. God strictly forbade leaven during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. God's commands, 2 leavened loaves of bread are to be brought before God on the day. We can look at Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, verse 15. Leviticus 23, verse 15. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, when Sabbath shall be complete. Even unto you morrow after the Sabbath, 7 Sabbath, shall a numbered 50 day, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. Ye shall bring out of your habitation 2 waves loaf of 2/10 deal. There shall be fine flour, there shall be bacon with leaven. They are first fruit unto you, the Lord. And verse 21, and ye shall be proclaim of the selfsame day, that it may be holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do not servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwelling throughout your generations. In the New Testament, the day of Pentecost was on the 50th day after Jesus Christ was resurrected. The 50th day, that means in the day of Pentecost, the New Testament church was formed by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which made Jew and Gentiles are one in Christ. The 2 unleavened loaf of bread denominates Jews and Gentiles. The Jews who has the law and the Gentile who doesn't have the law are both under sin. There is no difference in front of God. The Jew and Greek both are under the judgment of God. But on the day of Pentecost, through the Christ, Jews and Gentiles got access to the presence of God. Because Christ died for our sin, all the judgment has been removed. Therefore, now there is no condemnation to them, those who are in Christ Jesus. It was sin offering through the Christ, our leaven or impurity was changed. Today, regardless of whether they are Jews or Greek, everyone who believed in Christ have access to the presence of God. The day of the law has finished. The day of grace has been begun. Our Lord Jesus Christ was ascended up to heaven, and on the 50th day, God sent the Holy Spirit into the world. The baptism of Holy Spirit was happened. Thus, by the Lord Jesus Christ and the baptism of Holy Spirit, we have been given opportunity to become the members of the Church of God. Those who have accepted Christ as the Savior and the Lord in their life by faith are members of the Christ of God. That what Scripture says for us. Acts 2 verse 14 says that. Acts 2 verse 47 says that. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. And second thing is that on the feast of Pentecost, the orphan, the widow, the native, the strangers, the servant, servants, and the maid, all will be rejoicing because they all receiving a share or inheritance that we can see in Leviticus. Beloved brothers and sisters, we were all alienated from God because of our sin. We lost our blessings, but the Lord Jesus has made atonement for our sin. We are free and has been made members of the body of Christ by the baptism of Holy Spirit. Therefore, we can rejoice in the joy and spiritual blessings which we have received through our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, our citizenship is in heaven. Psalm 16 verse 6 says that the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yes, I have goodly heritage. Today, we are heirs of God. Today, we are heirs of God and join heirs with Christ. Let us give glory to God who has made us join heirs in Christ. And fifth one, the upcoming feast is the Feast of Trumpet. This feast comes after a 4th month break. We can look at Leviticus 23, verse 23. Leviticus 23, verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the 7th month, in the 1st day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. Ye shall do not servile work therein, but ye shall be offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. The Feast of Trumpet is after the 4th month of break, when they harvested and in gathering are in this season. It is a time of great joy. The harvest that began on the day of Pentecost has not been finished yet. On the 1st day of the harvest, that is Pentecost, 3,000 people were saved. Later, many thousand were freed from the bondage of devil, and many are being saved until today. But this harvest will not be for a long time when the last person in God's predestination is saved. The trumpet would sound. The Israelites who were traveling through the wilderness after being delivered from Egypt, they had 2 trumpets to sound when they set up camp and set out. That we can see in Numbers 10:1. Numbers 10:1. I'm not going to read that one, but I want to explain that. That it recorded that this trumpet made of beaten silver, which would produce 2 different tones. When the trumpet was blown, the people who had been camped around the tent would remove all the pegs and hooks and untie all the cords and gather for set out to go, looking at the cloud that was going before them. This feast reminds us the return of the Lord, which is the hope of His people. Apostle Paul tells us that Thessalonian believers, do not be ignorant about those who are asleep. We can look at 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brothers, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this way say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from the heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trump of the God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. God's people all over the world are waiting for that trumpet sound. On the 4th day after the death of Lazarus, Lord Jesus stood at his tomb and said, Lazarus, come out. If the Lazarus had risen and come out from the tomb, then when the trumpet of the Lord will sound, the dead in the Lord would also rise with their glorified body. At that very moment, who are alive will be transformed and will together meet the Lord in the cloud. We will live with the Lord forever. The Lord Jesus, who is risen from the dead, is the basis of our resurrection. The Bible says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will also give life to your mortal bodies by that same spirit. A Christian believer who looks through the binoculars of hope can count the sufferings of this time as unworthy. It is because of faith in the Lord. Pretend. Beloved brothers and sisters, are we getting ready to go with the Lord? We read that in Jeremiah 8 verse 20, that Jeremiah 8 verse 20, harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Let's prepare ourselves to avoid that happening. All the children of Israel, children of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, will depart soon from here to live with the Lord forever. The world events that are happening today is to fulfillment of the word. The sound of trumpet of the Lord is about to hear. Are we ready to go? Let us examine ourselves and prepare to go. Sixth feast, Feast of Day of Atonement. After the Lord's come and bring his bride with him, then God's plan for the Jews will be carried out. The first place was given to Jews by the Lord, and they lost it by rejecting the Son of God. John 1 verse 11 says that he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. However, there is still a chance for the Jews to be restored. A great tribulation will happen soon. In the severity of the persecution, they will return to the Lord whom they are crucified and will repent then for their action. We can look at Zechariah 12 verse 10. Zechariah 12 verse 10. Zechariah 12 verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of the supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn of him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in the bitterness of him as the one that is bitterness of his firstborn. They will look unto the one whom they pierced, and they will mourn and be restored. This is made clear by the great Feast of Atonement. We can look at Leviticus 23 verse 26. Leviticus 23 verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the 10th day of this 7th month, there shall be a day of atonement. It shall be an holy convocation unto you, and there shall be afflict your soul, and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And there shall be, do not work in the same day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whosoever soul eats to be that shall not be afflicted in the same day, he shall be cut off from them and the people of Israel. While other festivals are meant to be joyful, this festival is meant to be a time of penance or time of repentance. The people repentant for the sin they have committed in their life in the past, confess them and seek forgiveness. Not only that, a special sacrifice is also offered on the day to atone for their sin. The explanation of special sacrifice can be found in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 9 onwards. I don't have time to read that, but I will explain that. That two goats cast by a lot for the sin of Israel should be brought before God. One is for scapegoat and the other one is for Lord. All the sins of Israel placed on the scapegoat and release into the wilderness. This is similar to the image of Lamb of God who took away our sin. The goat for the Lord should be offered as a sin offering, and the blood which should be taken into the most holy place and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. God pleased on this sacrifice and forgave their sin. This is the only sacrifice and procedure happened in the most holy place once in a year. But today, the complete solution of sin has been fulfilled through our Lord Jesus Christ, so that there is no need any more sacrifice. Our sins are forgiven. But we can please God by offering the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That we can look at Hebrew 13 verse 15. Hebrew 13 verse 15. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to good, do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifice, God is well pleased. We know that Israel can only approach the mercy seat through high priest once in a year. But we can approach it at any time with courage to seek mercy and to receive the grace to help. That's what Hebrew 4 verse 16 tells us. Hebrew 4 verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Even though we are saved and baptized with Holy Spirit and added to the church today, we are still living in a sinful body. There is a high possibility that we could do sin. If we renew our experience of salvation in our daily life, it will be great blessing in our Christian life. Moreover, if we read, study and meditate the Word of God every day, we will experience new grace from the Lord. We read in the book of Lamentation that His grace and His mercy are new every morning. Thus God has called us to live by experiencing new grace. We already think six festivals, which are Christ's sacrifice through Passover, lead a holy life through unleavened bread, resurrection of Christ, that is first fruit, Holy Spirit given in Pentecost Day, and added Jews and Greeks to the church, future return of Christ while trumpets sound, complete forgiveness in Christ, Day of Atonement. The seventh and last feast is the Feast of Tabernacle. This feast reminds us that God is going to dwell among His people. We can look at Leviticus 23 verse 34. Leviticus 23 verse 34. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this month shall be Feast of Tabernacle for the seventh day unto the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. Ye shall do not serve oil work therein. Along with that, I would like to read chapter 23, verse 42. Chapter 23, verse 42. Ye shall dwell in the booth 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in the booth, that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booth when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. The Feast of Tabernacle is also known as Sukkot or Feast of Booth. This is 8-day feast, commemorates God's provision and protection for Israelites during 40 years of wilderness journey. During this feast, the Israelites construct a temporary shelter and lives there, which is symbolizes a complete dependence of God. We know that Solomon's temple in Jerusalem was dedicated at a Feast of Tabernacle. The festival is the remembrance of God's dwelling among Israel in the wilderness. This feast reminds us that God is going to dwell with us. We can look at Revelation chapter 21 verse 3. Revelation chapter 21 verse 3. Revelation chapter 21 verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be by any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things are new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. We know that Abraham, who is the father of faith, he dwelt in the tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, and he hears with him the same promise. For he looked for the city. He looked for the city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. We can also wait for that, because our Master Jesus promise us that if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that ye may be also. Dear children of God, we are going to be with him forever. We know that Israelites lived a temporary shelter in the wilderness, but Jesus Christ promised us he is preparing a place for us, a permanent place. The Feast of Tabernacle is going to be fulfilled soon. The word tabernacles literally means dwell or live among. The feast points to the destination at the end of our journey. The Christian life is a journey in the wilderness, but it leads to a permanent dwelling place. Dear children of God, this world is not our home. Our real home is being prepared. There is no more death, no more suffering, no more sorrow, but eternal dwelling with God. Are we ready for that? The Lord Jesus Christ told us that I am going to prepare a place for you. But are we willing to go? Let us examine ourselves and prepare ourselves to go. And let us lead this Christian life by waiting for his return. May God bless us and comfort us with these words. Pray and pray.
Father, we just want to thank you for your word and the revelation of your Son, the glory of your Son to your people Israel. And Father, that even today we can read and see the plan and purpose that you have for him and for us. Father, we do look forward to that day when we shall rejoice, when we shall see him face to face, when we shall be like him, we shall be with him for all eternity. And Father, we just give you our thanks and praise for the time you've had in your word today. And we praise you in the name of the one who loves us and gave himself for us. In the name of our Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen.